This is John Matarazzo for Charisma News, and with me today is a new take on the Pilgrim's Progress story, originally by John Bunyan, but we've got a very special look at a postmodern update coming back right after this message.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
We want to thank MyPillow for sponsoring the Charisma Podcast Network. Go to MyPillow.com to receive the Giza Dream Sheets for 60% off. You will receive a set for as low as $39.99. Also, for a limited time with any purchase, you will receive Mike's softcover book absolutely free when you use the promo code CHARISMA. Once again, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code CHARISMA or call 800-598-1793 for this amazing offer.
This is John Matarazzo for Charisma News, back with a special guest here today. I've got Joel Berry from the Babylon Bee. He's located in Ohio, although the rest of the team is in California. He's in Ohio. He and Kyle Mann, the editor-in-chief for the Babylon Bee, who is currently still in Twitter jail, they've put together a new book, a retelling of this amazing story that I grew up with, that so many people have, The Pilgrim's Progress, but you put a unique twist on that. So, Joel, it's great to have you on the Charisma News podcast to talk about this retelling of this well-loved story.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So the postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, which it is a mouthful to say, tell us about...
You can call it Triple P for short.
The Triple P, yeah. So I want to hear a little bit about, like, what's the inspiration behind this, because you guys are cranking out a bunch of content all the time for the Babylon Bee and all the different things that you guys touch. You're doing videos that are coming out on YouTube all the time. I mean, when you're not in Twitter jail, you know, things are getting out there, but, you know, the articles are hilarious, more than just the headlines and the art. I mean, there's so much cleverness and just gifting that God has given you guys to really be able to speak truth to power in a lot of different ways. And it's not just talking about the cultural things, you're talking about things within the church, and so I appreciate that. There's nothing that's too sacred for you guys to go after. So I do want to talk about the book, but let's talk a little bit about your work with the Bee, and just kind of like what that's like, because I know a lot of people like the Babylon Bee, but not many people know what it's like to be on the other side of that.
Yeah, well, it's a blast. I've been doing this full-time for a little over 2 years now when I came on as the managing editor, kind of helping Kyle run the site, writing a lot of the satire. And it's a dream come true. I mean, I don't have a comedy background. I was in corporate sales, corporate supply chain sales before doing this. So usually when I tell people that, they're like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, you know, how did this happen?
Right.
And I can't really explain it other than that, God is a merciful God, and he mercifully placed me in a job where I could actually use my talents, you know, and I know how rare that is these days, you know, to find something that is really doesn't feel like work and that plays on your strengths. And so it's been a blast. You know, I think one of the best things about it, you know, not just for me, but for people who read the Bee, is that with all of the for lack of a better word, awful things happening in our culture. You know, there's a lot of hand-wringing, there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of worry when we look at where our culture is going, where our country is going. And to kind of start by, like, kind of giving that to God, you know, entrusting it to God, and then changing your mindset a little bit to where you're looking out at the world, you're looking at the corruption and the craziness, and you're trying to find what's funny about it. It's a really fun way to live and a really fun mindset. And so it's made me a happier person. And I, you know, a lot of the feedback we get from people who read the Bee is that it's made them happier people too, that, you know, you can't just have a constant stream of this news, bad news all the time, without having a little levity once in a while. And so I think, especially with a lot of the places people used to go for comedy, you know, late night television, Saturday Night Live has kind of abandoned our tribe, you know, the Christian right, for lack of a better word. Yeah. We've kind of swooped into, you know, to bring laughs to that segment of the population. So it's just fun. It's very gratifying. It's enjoyable. I'm on the East Coast. The rest of the team's on the West Coast. So I kind of wake up with the news and kind of get a sense for what people are talking about each day. And then I'm kind of sending the marching orders out to our writers. I write a lot of stuff. I do Photoshops as well. And we're kind of trying to figure out what's gonna be the most important thing to talk about, and mix it up with some, you know, some family humor, some church humor, so that it's not all political news.
Yeah, because I mean, I think one of the things that has been the most interesting with the Babylon Bee is that you guys have been more prophetic than comedy writers in a lot of ways. I mean, here at the at Charisma Media and Charisma News, we deal a lot with the prophecy and things that are coming around that way. But it's like, okay, we have the Babylon Bee too, and it seems like you guys are ahead of what's happening in the world too, because whenever we think it can't get any crazier and the Babylon Bee is just talking about this absurd thing, wait a couple weeks and it's probably going to be true. How does that feel?
Well, you know, it's gratifying because it tells us that we're doing a good job at satire. I mean, you know, and we're not the only ones. You know, The Simpsons, South Park have also been very very good at predicting the future. And when you have your finger on the pulse of the culture, and you have a good understanding of the worldview of the other side and people who don't think like you, you'll find it's not that hard to predict what they're what they're going to do next. And so a lot of it is us just kind of waking up every morning and thinking, you know, if I were a leftist, if I were a politician, if I were a leader in the church, you know, what would I do in a couple weeks?
Sure.
And sure enough, a lot of them do come true.
Which is it is wild. And you know, one of the things that's in the news right now, and I would, I hope it's okay to ask about this. You know, Elon Musk is in the process, or you know, in the saga. Really, it's almost like its own Lord of the Rings in some way. You know, it's and what's going to be uncovered as he's in this process of buying Twitter. But I heard that he actually reached out to the Babylon Bee to see if you guys were really in Twitter jail for something that you did. And is that something that like really helped him make that decision to pull that trigger and go for that purchase?
Yeah, you know, I suspect it was probably a contributing factor. You know, he is a fan. You know, when we were on Twitter, he was often replying to a lot of our articles commenting on a lot of our articles. And so it may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm not sure. But it is still kind of a open question as to whether or not that deal will go through. And we hope that it will, because, Twitter is such a poorly run business. It's run by ideologues that are really more interested in controlling the narrative for their ideological tribe than they are in making money. And so, Elon is paying a high premium for a kind of a poorly run business. And I can't think of anyone else who would be willing to do something like that, other than someone like Elon, who's a little bit crazy and is not driven so much by money as he is these kind of grand ideas about, you know, furthering human progress and free speech and things like that. And so I don't know if there's anyone crazy enough to buy Twitter besides Elon, which is why I hope it happens. Yeah.
Me too. I just think it's a very interesting saga because, you know, more things are being uncovered about that. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, more Babylon Bee headlines about that saga as well. But, you know, we really, you know, we wanted to start this interview just talking about some things that people are already aware of, just to kind of give some updates on that. But the thing that you and Kyle have partnered together with, because, I mean, let's face it, you're not doing enough work. I mean, you just kind of come up with these crazy ideas and, you know, I'm joking. You guys do a ton of work, but you decided to write a book together. And, you know, this postmodern Pilgrim's Progress. And this isn't the first book that the Babylon Bee has put together. The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness was pretty well received. And it's pretty funny. I mean, some of the stuff in there, it's satire, but it's also prophetic as well. But so you're taking kind of a little bit of a twist here and taking a beloved story and putting a twist on it. So tell us about how, you know, we go from the John Bunyan characters, and now you've updated it. Tell us about what you can about your postmodern Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying that this was the book that we wanted to write from the very beginning. Mm. I mean, the Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness, that was just our foot in the door with the publisher so that we could write a book that did well with them. But this postmodern Pilgrim's Progress has been, it's been on Kyle's mind for many years since before he met me. It was a very important book in both of our lives growing up as young Christians. And, you know, he had always kind of wanted to do some sort of a modern retelling because there is something kind of funny and a little bit satirical about Pilgrim's Progress. I mean, it's one of the first, if not the first, English novel, one of the most important English language books. There's something that satirists do with analogies that are very similar to allegory, and so we saw it as kind of a way to do what we do with the Babylon Bee with our satire and work it into a narrative that's kind of a commentary on the modern church, what it's like to be a Christian in America, a modern evangelical. And we had a lot of fun doing it. So we injected a lot of humor. We injected some tropes that we love just in fiction. It is a sci-fi book, so there's multiverses, there's aliens. It's narrated by this angelic creature who's kind of bemused and confused by human beings. And it's full of his.
Mm-hmm. Aren't we all?
Yeah, it was just really fun to write, and I think that people who read it will get a lot out of it. There's a lot of insight about our current culture, a lot of humor. It's a classic hero's journey, and you know, the feedback so far, just from initial reviews, has been overwhelmingly positive, more than I could have dreamed. You know, when you write something like this, you put it out there, and you're kind of worried, like, is it good? Is it not? How is this going to be received? And so far, the reception has been really humbling to hear what people are getting out of it.
That's really good. You know, one of the things that I always thought was interesting about the original Pilgrim's Progress was just the names of the characters that Pilgrim, ran into, you know. And so did you work in some of those unique names as well?
We'll have you'll run into to characters like the Smiling Preacher, Mr. Loved by the World, Mr. Humanist, Pastor, Faith. You know, we have allegorical names very similar to Bunyan. I think one thing that we did in kind of departing from Bunyan a little bit is that Bunyan in the original Pilgrim's Progress always very explicitly explained what each allegory meant. You know, there's like a scene at the beginning when Christian sees this man grasping at straws on the ground with a rake. And then he goes into the next room and the angel says, okay, here's what that means, that thing that you just saw. Here's what it means. And he explains it. Our book doesn't explain everything. It has a lot of allegory in it. And what's been kind of fun to see in the initial reaction to it is how different people reading it are getting different things. So we're more explicit in some areas. We're a little more... we're a little less explicit in others, which I think it makes the narrative a little more breezy to read through the narrative. makes it a little less clunky, I think, and some things are open to interpretation, which is fun.
Yeah, what are some new spins on the different things that Christian, the main character, had, you know, as I think what his name in this is Ryan Fleming. What are some of the things that he has to overcome that are unique to this?
Yeah, so ours has more of a backstory. It centers around a character, Ryan Fleming, he's kind of dealing with this tragic, horrific death of his younger brother, and kind of how the church and church leaders have kind of failed him a little bit as he's struggled with this pain. He's kind of reached this conclusion that, you know, there isn't a God. There's no meaning or plan to the universe. He's kind of essentially become a nihilist, you know, as a result of this tragedy and as a result of seeing kind of the the emptiness and hypocrisy sometimes of the church. And so that's kind of the starting point. You know, we gave him a little more backstory, and then he goes to this mega church. A projector falls on his head from the ceiling and knocks him out, and he has a dream, and this book is basically the retelling of this dream he has while he's knocked out on the floor of the mega church. And so and it has the multiverse element is kind of fun. So the idea that we had for the book was, you know, what if every time you dream, you're essentially traveling to another universe, and that's what's happening in this. It's when you fall asleep, you're going to another universe, and it's another reality that's actually playing out. And God is kind of using that as a part of your story, pushing you towards this reconciliation with the Creator that we were all made for. So this book is basically a retelling of the first dream in a series of dreams that will eventually lead Ryan to faith in Christ.
Hmm. So this is actually something that will lead people to a decision point for their own life. Is that correct?
It's no.
So, no. Okay.
I mean, what you'll see, I mean, by the end of our book, Ryan is still not a Christian.
Okay.
He's on his way. But God, you can see God is starting to work powerfully in his life, but he's not there yet. So I don't know if we're going to address that in sequels or not, but
okay.
This doesn't have kind of like a burden falling off the back moment Pilgrim's Progress did. It does have a scene that kind of evokes that a little bit, we kind of wanted to I guess paint a picture of the slow process, sometimes the long process. That God leads people on that eventually ends in them reaching a saving faith in Christ, and so we kept it open ended at the end of the book there a little bit, which I thought was a kind of a fun twist.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because most of the time, if you're calling this the postmodern Pilgrim's Progress, people are going to be expecting some of those things to line up almost just like you're retelling it with modern lenses. But it seems like you've just taken that principle or that concept, and you've really made it your own.
Yeah.
But I'm sure as you've been writing this with Kyle, there's been some things in your own life that have caused you to either question or caused you to dig deeper into your own faith. Can you pull back the layers on some of that for us?
Yeah. You know, I think, and I suspect I'm not the only one. You know, I think a lot of Christians, evangelicals in our country right now are, you know, I think there's a lot of, there's been a lot of upheaval in the church. There's been a lot of cultural division in the church lately. I think we've seen a lot of our, you know, our Christian leaders and even like, you know, Christian musicians who we, you know, adored in the 90s and the early 2000s who have fallen away or who have either lost the faith or been embroiled in scandal. And so I think one of the things that we really wanted to do in this book was kind of reflect what does the Christian journey look like? You know, our institutions and our churches and our leaders fail us. You know, what does that quiet, faithful, unseen obedience look like? You know, how do we obey God when so much seems unclear and maybe a lot of things are left unanswered in our lives. And so, you know, we have an atheist character, we have a humanist character, we parody those characters a little bit, and we have some stereotypes of atheists, right. You know, like the atheist wears a fedora, and you know, the humanist looks a little bit like Bill Gates, maybe, you know, but
like the pregnant man emoji.
That's right. Yeah. And it, you know, but we didn't want to just parody them. We wanted to mm-hmm. also present a fair representation of what they believe and why they believe it. You know, we wanted to steel man them a little bit, you know, not straw man them. And so we okay. wanted to be fair to people who question, people who don't believe, show how God works even through those times of questioning and darkness and confusion. So mm-hmm. I think it, for those reasons, it reflects a lot of what me and Kyle have went through, you know, in our Christian walk. And we hope that it'll speak to others as well who have gone through those similar things.
That's awesome. I like that, you know, you're bringing in some, really, this postmodern world that we live in. There are new temptations, even though we know that, you know, there's nothing new right. under the sun. There's just different ways that it's yeah. presented. And so I appreciate that you're taking some interesting creative license to be able to communicate these truths, and through parody and allegory and a little bit of satire, I'm sure, is still thrown in there because that's right. in your blood. You probably can't get yeah. away from that. You know, I'm grateful that you're telling this story, and you know, I'm a big fan of audiobooks, and this is a podcast mm-hmm. interview. Do you recommend the audiobook from what you've heard yet?
We're not finished with the audiobook yet. We're working on that. Okay. So I think it would make a pretty fun audiobook, though. The narrator's yeah. kind of this weird, quirky person. You know, it's very similar to, if you've read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there's kind of a bit of a dry wit to it. Gotcha. There are a lot of...
I was going to ask if you would make that correlation there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there are a lot of footnotes, you know, where he'll kind of like stop the narrative and then, you know, what's up with meatloaf? Why do you guys eat that? Like, that's weird, you know. And so those add a little bit of fun to the proceedings, which we enjoyed writing the footnotes.
Well, that's good. So just so you know, I am planning on getting the paperback, the Kindle, and the audio awesome. Version of it, because I like all, you know, getting the media however we can and supporting
you
guys with this work that you're doing. Because it's not just, you know, you're not just about writing witty articles, but there's a reason, there's a purpose, there's a goal yeah. to the bigger things that you're doing as well. And this is a way that you can do something that's not the Babylon Bee, but it's related to it because it's who you guys yeah. are. But it's, you know, I'm excited to get my hands on a copy of
it
myself.
Thank you. Yeah.
How do people get a hold
of
it?
Yeah. Well, you know, we recommend pre-ordering it. The last book that we published, The Guide to Wokeness, it sold out in 2 weeks, and it was several months before they could get more wow. copies in. So if you want to guarantee, you know, getting a copy, I would recommend pre-ordering it on, you know, Amazon. You can pre-order Barnes & Noble. It's also on ChristianBooks.com. If you don't want to mm-hmm. do business with Amazon, we've got a lot of feedback with people. I don't want to give them my money. So ChristianBooks.com has it. You know, and I think eventually, maybe 2 or 3 months after release, we'll probably have it in the Babylon Bee store as well for people who want to get it that way. But,
okay.
you know, I hope that it's just encouraging to people. I hope it's mm-hmm. encouraging to Christians. I think that no matter who reads it, there's going to be something that you'll be able to take away from it. And we Good. Hope that it just has that effect, that encouraging, uplifting effect on our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it, as I said earlier. But, you know, Joel, before I let you go here, I just want to say I appreciate your time. But I got to ask, like, what is the next prophetic Babylon Bee headline that you can think of right now?
Oh, you want a sneak preview? Here, let's see what we got here.
Sure. Give me a sneak preview. Yeah.
I don't know if these might see the light of day. These might not see the light of day. The thing about what we do is you know, it usually takes about 300 pitches to get a couple good headlines, and so we're wading through a lot. Oh, wow. You know, but we have the monkeypox outbreak is contained, says head of CDC while peeling banana with her feet. local gun range overrun by conservative candidates making commercials about how much they love guns. I don't know. We're a little thin today. I'm going to have to come up with something.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got to let you get back to work to put out some more great headlines for the Babylon Bee. But I appreciate taking the time, Joel, to talk with us on the Charisma News podcast and to talk about this Postmodern Pilgrim's Progress book. I want to encourage everybody to pre-order it because, as he said earlier, the previous book they did, The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness, sold out, and it took a while before people could actually get their hands on it. So make sure you pre-order. It comes out June 7th, and so I hope you get a copy of that, and you can read it, enjoy it, and then share it with a friend. This is John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.